7:13. Let's talk a little politics here with the man who wants to be governor, Bruce Rauner. Good morning, Mr. Rauner. Welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Terrific, thanks.
I know you have an event with Jeb Bush later. I want to get to that, but I'm a man of my word. And the last time you were on, I said I wanted to run through issues. So let's run through some of the issues and kick them off or click them off as quickly as you can so we can get as many in here as possible. Once and for all, where do you stand on the minimum wage?
Minimum wage. We can raise the national minimum wage, and I support it. Raise it up higher than Illinois, so all the states are in a level playing field, and Illinois companies are not at a competitive disadvantage. That's one approach I support. The other approach I support is raising the Illinois minimum wage over time up to as high as $10, but do it in conjunction with pro-business reform so small businesses can afford to pay a higher minimum wage. That's a tax reduction. That's workers' comp reform and tort reform so we can get companies healthy and growing and affording to pay a higher minimum wage.
So the video clip that's running in nonstop on TV, that, and I'll grant you it's a small clip, but the clip that says, I am strongly against raising the minimum wage, is that because you've had a change of opinion, or was there more to that clip?
Change of context. Raising it without pro-business changes would be a mistake, but we can make the small business pro-business changes and raise the minimum wage as part of that. That's part of our comprehensive reform.
All right, so national level playing field minimum wage and a minimum wage that works in cooperation with appropriate business changes you're talking about, which to me brings us to the corporate tax question. On your website, you talk about getting rid of Illinois' corporate tax levels as they are, getting rid of the income tax and a property tax safety net. How are we going to pay for anything?
Oh, by overhauling the tax code and growing. See, the whole key is to have our tax code that's pro-growth. We cannot just keep raising tax rates and fix our problems. All we're going to do is push more employers out of the state and destroy our economy, and we'll never fund our pensions or our health care or education if we do that. We need flat taxes that are low, and we need a broad base. So what we advocate is several things. Closing the special deals loopholes. We have corporate welfare here, large corporations that are politically connected who don't pay their fair share of taxes through special deals. We've got to end the special deals, number one. Number two, we've got to overhaul the tax code so we are pro-growth. The well-run states around America have very low or no income taxes, and they have a broad sales tax, and they have broad, low taxes on other things. What we're recommending is we roll back the Quinn-Madigan income tax hikes back down to where they were in 2010. We freeze local property taxes, because those taxes are brutal in Illinois. We have basically tied with New Jersey for the highest property taxes in America, and that's pushing employers out, and it's forcing homeowners to sell their homes because they can't afford the real estate taxes. Freeze those taxes, give local voters more direct control over property tax hikes through referenda, and we broaden the sales tax in Illinois to include some services. Well-run states include a sales tax on services. We don't have any sales tax on any business services, and that's a mistake. That's a missed opportunity that can raise revenue without hurting growth.
Services such as?
For example, business advertising is one example. Certain types of printing is another example. In Illinois, you could lease a plane or lease a boat and not pay a tax. In other states, you pay a tax. We miss opportunities to raise revenue on things that don't hurt business growth.
With technology changing as fast as it is, would you ultimately be in favor of a tax on sales on the Internet?
You know what? We've got to be careful about hurting Illinois' competitiveness. That one really could hurt us competitively. We've got to be in line with the other well-run states on that policy.
If other states were on board and it became a national policy or a wave, would you be on board?
If that doesn't hurt us competitively compared to other states, I would consider that, yeah.
You brought up the pension. We don't know what the courts are going to do, but we do know that the pension is the pillow over Illinois that's suffocating all of us, the pension problem, I should say.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to people who say, touch my pension, I won't vote for you?
You know what? We've got to change our pension system. It's broken, and it's failing, and it's going to fail our retirees. I was against the Quinn changes to the pensions, Quinn-Madigan changes last November. I thought those changes were unconstitutional. I don't think you can change a retiree's deal after the fact, and I would not do that. What we've got to do is change the pension for future work. So we should create a second pension plan that's more of a defined contribution type plan, more of a 401k style plan for future work. That would save a lot of money for taxpayers in the future and allow us the savings to fund in the old liability that's been created by Blagojevich and Quinn over the last 12 years in the old pension.
I'm going to bring these all under one umbrella here in a second, but I want to fly through these issues as quickly as we can. The education question. There is a notion that you are not pro-teacher. I'll let you address that in a second. But also there is a question about how much money we spend on schools. Every candidate yaps about we need better schools. We need better schools. Where's the what sort of quality would you bring to the answer to that question that we haven't heard 1,000 times before?
Yeah, you know, politicians talk about it. Ted Quinn's talked about education being important. He's raised our taxes 67%, and he's cut $500 million from school funding. Ted Quinn has been a disaster on education. My wife and I have dedicated much of our lives and our resources over the last 25 years to education improvement in the public education world. We've funded charter schools. We've funded teacher training, compensation systems for teachers based upon merit, voucher programs for low-income kids, early childhood education. We've worked hard to improve public education and empower parents with choice. I would make education funding the top priority with taxpayer dollars. I would expand state support for education. We are 48th out of 50 states on general state revenue going to education. I would expand that. I would not cut school funding. I would increase it. Other programs can and should be cut. Wasteful spending should be cut. Education should not be cut. But we should hold our schools accountable for results. We've got to ditch the ISAT. It's a travesty as a state standardized test. We've also got to be careful when we roll in the new standards, the new PARC standards and the Common Core. We cannot let the federal government control our curriculum, but we've got to have a rigorous way to measure student growth objectively so we can evaluate our teachers fairly and know which schools are performing and which aren't. And I'd use the ACT battery in high school and NWEA in grade school. But the real key is to bring back vocational training, job training, technical training back into our public high school system. We used to do that in Illinois years ago. We've mostly cut it out. And as a result, many of our young people are not trained for today's jobs. And not every student should expect to go to a four-year college. Not everyone is on track to do that. And that's okay, because we have thousands of jobs unfilled in Illinois in the vocational sector that our young people could be trained for and get good incomes at.
The overarching question I would have for you is, after running companies very successfully and amassing, and I've told you before, I salute your wealth, amassing a significant personal wealth, you're not used to, I wouldn't think, having a lot of people say no to you. So what you, if you win the race and suddenly you're dealing with Mike Madigan, you're dealing with Springfield, there's going to be a lot of people that say no to you. How are you going to handle that?
Oh, you know what? I've had a lot of people saying no to me my whole career. That's how I've gotten things done, is building consensus, handling negotiations on complex, difficult issues, and getting things done. That's what I've done my whole life. I'm proud of it. And I've always worked with folks who often come at issues from a different perspective. Here in Illinois, I've worked with Democrats and Republicans on school reform, battling on pension reform, and many issues. I've worked with the mayors in Chicago, even though I disagree with them on many issues, frankly, most issues. I've worked with the mayors to turn around tourism in Chicago dramatically during my time as chairman of the Tourism Bureau. I've worked with the mayors in Chicago to fix the broken work rules and costs at McCormick Place so we could bring back our convention business. And I've worked with the General Assembly in Springfield to get some meaningful education reform passed a few years ago. I know how to negotiate and get things done. I'm excited to move to Springfield, live in the governor's residence, and work closely with the General Assembly. I'm getting to know every member there on a personal basis, a first-name basis.
And you still want to do it?
You know what? I love it. This is a noble mission. We're going to turn our state around. Today, we're the worst-run state in America. I know we can become the best-run state. We've got the best people. We have the hardest-working people in America, the best location, most fertile farms, the capital, the heart of the Midwest in Chicago. We have every reason to thrive, except we've had a lack of leadership and a lack of integrity. Pat Quinn is corrupt. He's a failure. He's not a leader. And I can move to Springfield and change that culture down there, really shake it up.
I'm going to give Governor Quinn a chance to come on and call you names, too. But before we do that, and by the way, the editorial board thing with the Tribune, people should go to and see online, because I thought it was one of the better exchanges of between the two of you, to see the emotion between the two of you. I think was actually a productive thing. You're at a Jeb Bush, or Jeb Bush is in town as part of a fundraiser today. Chris Christie and Jeb Bush fighting over you?
You know what? I've worked with many of the great governors around the United States. Mitch Daniels in Indiana is a friend, and he's a role model and mentor. They really changed Indiana for the better under Mitch Daniels. You know what? I've studied with Jeb Bush. He is a passionate education reformer, as I am. Florida and Indiana have done a dramatically fantastic job improving their public school systems. Jeb Bush is a friend, and I've worked with him on education reform. Chris Christie's a friend. He's done good things to turn around New Jersey.
You want to announce an endorsement yet for 2016?
You know what? We're going to have a great Republican president in 2016, and I'm excited and honored to support whoever our party chooses.
Mr. Rauner, I wanted to give you an opportunity to clarify or maybe quantify a couple of statements from earlier this week in an incident as well. Earlier this week, you said that you opposed the legal use of medical marijuana, prompting, of course, outrage from Liu Lang, whose bill that was. If elected, would you try to rescind the medical marijuana bill?
No. I've said all along, I didn't personally support it one way or another, but I also don't think it's a big issue. I think it's a distraction. We should be focusing on our taxes, our jobs, and our schools in Illinois and ripping out the corruption. That's the real issue. We've got medical marijuana a law here, but the issue that I'm really troubled with is the way we're implementing the law. We are granting the licenses to sell medical marijuana and grow it in a secret backroom way, the Illinois way, where we don't know who's getting licensed. We don't know the process that's being done. We don't know who those folks are connected to. We could do it in a transparent way, and we could hold auctions to sell those medical marijuana products and raise money for taxpayers while doing it and make it very open and transparent.
Well,
and
because it's not
in backroom deals.
Colorado has a problem in this regard, and obviously Colorado and Washington are different, but it becomes a straight cash business because you can't have international or interstate trafficking when you go with credit cards and that type of payment. So how would you handle that part of it? Because I know medical marijuana states are dealing with that issue as well.
Oh, yeah, that's not hard to deal with. My point is, who are we granting these licenses to and how is this being done? We already know that Jack Lavin, who's under federal investigation and is Pat Quinn's best friend and is now a lobbyist, he's lobbying in part of this medical marijuana licensing process. Nobody knows about it.
So you think this setup, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know there's a time issue for both of us, and we have the money clip coming up here in a second. I think I have your answer. The answer is you're concerned about what you feel is a shady way this is set up, and there's not enough transparency. But I want to get Andrea's other question in.
Yeah, just real quick. Was there a group of Columbia College journalism students trying to attend one of your press conferences this week, and they were told to leave?
I don't know. You know, somebody told me that after the fact. I was not aware of that. I don't know.
Would you welcome college journalists going forward? Because there was a notion that the campaign wanted to work with, not your words, but the overarching term, only professional journalists.
Yeah, I assume so. I don't really know. This was brought up to me after the fact.
I'm not doubting that you don't know, but I'm asking you as the candidate, would you welcome the opportunity to talk to college journalists?
Oh, I'm sure. I'd love to. Frankly, I'd love to go visit. I've visited one. I'd love to go visit other colleges of journalism and meet with the students. That'd be fun and, I think, productive.
All right, good. Well, I'm sure they'd appreciate the opportunity. And whoever told the college journalists not to come in, I think you should put them in timeout. what's your website for the campaign?
JoinBruce.com. Everybody vote. This election's critical. We've got to go in a new direction. These guys in Springfield are failing us. JoinBruce.com. Get out and vote.
All right, I'm sure you appreciate the fact that I didn't ask you where you stand on Scottish independence. enjoy your day. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
That's Bruce Rauner. He wants to be your next governor.
Thanks for checking out the Steve Cochran Show podcast.